May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen.
So another very difficult parable of Jesus. I'm not going to preach on it today, not just because I'm avoiding the difficult parables. I do have a few thoughts on it, and if it is something that you find yourself really bumping up against, I hope you'll catch me after church and maybe we can wrestle with it just a little bit. But my heart was more with Philippians this week, and I want to preach on the reading from Philippians. We've been sort of, over the last 4 weeks, hopscotching our way through selections from Paul's letter to the Philippians. In fact, we've had a portion over the last 4 weeks from each of the four chapters in Philippians. And today's reading is almost from the end. There's very little that follows in that letter after the portion that we heard today. And next week we will move on in our epistle reading to 1 Thessalonians. So I wanted to spend just a little bit of time on Paul's parting words of encouragement and advice offered to that Christian community at Philippi, those early Christians, that congregation that he founded. These are his parting words, at least in this letter, to those whom he knew and loved at Philippi. Two things in particular struck me about today's reading. Two things jumped out at me. One is the fact that over and over and over again, Paul says, rejoice. And it's not just in today's reading. It's in other places in Philippians as well. Paul encourages the Christian community in Philippi to rejoice. It's a persistent theme in this letter. Rejoice, he says to them. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says. We know a few things about this particular letter, the letter to the Philippians. As you may know, amongst the epistles attributed to Paul in the Bible, modern scholarship is quite certain that there are some that were not written by Paul. There are a few that are kind of uncertain. And then there's a group that there is virtual consensus that Paul did, in fact, write these letters. And Philippians is one of those. This is Paul's work, Paul's words. But perhaps of even greater interest is that the content of the letter itself clearly indicates that Paul was confined when he wrote this letter. Paul was in prison. Paul is writing to the Philippians from prison, where he has been imprisoned for being a Christian. To be a Christian was to oppose the emperor. Paul is in prison as he writes to the Philippians. And all he can talk about is joy. I came across a meditation from the Tezay community on this particular passage in Philippians, and they say it as well as I could. They write, "It may seem paradoxical," that's an understatement, "it may seem paradoxical that the letter of St. Paul that speaks most about joy was written in prison. At a moment when the Apostle Paul does not even know whether he will be freed or whether he will undergo martyrdom for his faith. But precisely in this difficult and complicated situation, he discovers the secret of Christian joy and shares it with us." Humanly speaking, they go on, humanly speaking, joy or happiness seems to be above all, a question of favorable circumstances. I am happy when I am surrounded by friends, when I have a desirable future before me, when I have a rewarding job, and so on. But in that case, it would scarcely be possible to, as Paul says, rejoice always. If our Christian joy were dependent upon favorable circumstances, we could not follow Paul's encouragement to rejoice always, because, of course, life leads us through dark valleys, just as often as up to exhilarating mountaintops. Paul has found, in contrast to human happiness that is dependent upon external circumstances, Paul has found, in fact, a source of joy in Jesus that will never fail. This sort of joy that Paul is talking about and that Paul is encouraging is not dependent upon external circumstances, the external circumstances of our lives. It is not the same as happiness or cheerfulness. It is a deeper serenity, a sense of hope, equanimity, a sense of inner peace or contentment that is rooted in the presence of Jesus. This sort of Christian joy can be hard to describe, but you know it when you found it. C.S. Lewis talks about it a lot. And even C.S. Lewis, who was never short on words, I think, finds it hard to describe this sort of joy that he's talking about. But when it came to him, he felt a sense of rootedness, of contentment, of serenity that could not be shaken. He describes this joy as the serious business of heaven. The serious business of heaven. I think it's what Julian of Norwich is talking about also when she says, all will be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Even when outer circumstances are not perfect, all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. That is that gift of inner joy that Paul is talking about. It is Jesus' gift to Paul and to us. Joy, rejoice, Paul says. Carry this joy with you. Aside from his persistent and insistent speaking of joy, the other thing that caught my attention in this morning's reading from Philippians is a quote that may have sounded somewhat familiar to you. It is the passage in Scripture that is the basis of the traditional blessing that has been a part of Anglican and Episcopal worship for centuries and other denominations as well. Comes from Philippians. A lot of what you'll find in the Book of Common Prayer comes from Scripture. You may remember that as we typically say or give voice to that blessing, we say, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus. The wording in Philippians is a little bit different. The direct translation in Philippians is a little bit different, and that caught my attention. In Philippians, Paul writes, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A couple of little differences there. First of all, in Philippians, this prayer is not a hopeful request. It is a declarative statement. That may be partly Paul. Paul was never short of confidence in himself, but nor was he short of confidence in God's love or in God's presence. And when Paul says the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds, he means it. And he knows that to be God's way of acting. He has experienced God's love in that way. The peace of God will, Paul says. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. We say passes all understanding. The meaning, of course, is virtually the same. But for me, that word surpasses stresses for us even more clearly that God's peace is something beyond our understanding, beyond our strength, beyond our conjuring. It is something that comes to us as a gift, surpassing anything we could hope for or devise on our own. Another translation translates that Greek word as transcends. God's peace which transcends even our understanding. More even than something we can understand, God's peace. And then there's that word guard. Our translation of Philippians, in our translation, Paul says, the peace of God, this peace which transcends even our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Our more familiar word is keep. Keep your hearts and minds. I get interested in that difference. I took Greek in seminary. I don't remember really any of it. But I remember just enough that I can do a little bit of research on the original Greek. I remember the alphabet. I had a little bit of a head start there. As many of you know, scientists use a lot of the Greek alphabet to represent different variables. So I kind of had a head start on the alphabet. And I remember just enough of the structure of Greek to be able to look things up. And that word that is translated in this morning's reading, that's translated guard, literally means something like, shall be a garrison, shall garrison. Hence our translation keep, in the sense of keep safe, guard, protect, form a garrison. God's peace, that peace which passes understanding, shall garrison your hearts and minds. God's peace shall form a garrison around your heart and your understanding to protect, to keep safe that joy which dwells within, that joy which is Jesus' gift to us. God's peace, which passes all understanding, will be a guard, a sentinel, a garrison, to keep safe that joy that is in our hearts and understandings. We are surrounded and enfolded by God's transcendent peace, and nothing, therefore, can assail the inner joy that is the gift of life with Jesus given to us. And Paul tells us how to come to that place, too. How to come to that place where we know God's joy within and where we are surrounded by transcendent peace. And it's pretty simple. Paul was actually a pretty practical guy. Paul says, bring everything to God in prayer. Just bring everything in your life. Prayer. Prayer is what puts us in that place where God's surpassing peace will guard our joy. Prayer is what opens us to the awareness of that joy that is within. Prayer, any prayer will do. It doesn't have to be the right kind of prayer. You don't have to pray for joy or peace. Just pray. Just bring, as Paul says, everything to God. Let your requests be known. By everything in prayer and supplication, come before God. Open yourself up to the presence of God. And in that life of prayer, you will find that gift of inner joy. be surrounded by the transcendent and surpassing peace of God, which will act as guard, as garrison, to keep that joy safe within your heart and mind. Amen.
Amen. Amen.